As I said, each of the elders are going to come forward for just a couple minutes each to challenge Matt personally. Here's where the overflow starts, and you get wet from what they say. The first elder to come is Glenn Francis. Glenn, come on up here.
Thank you, Pastor Mike. If you don't mind, may I make a confession? Yes, thank you. As I sat preparing this challenge, you know, it just became more challenging and challenging to me. And because of that, I've decided to put away this note here to myself so that I will be always reminded that, yes, this is part of my role as a leader here at Candlewood. Professor Irvin, God has called you to serve a people he has drawn to himself. So take time out to pray for them as Jesus did. Mark 1:35 says, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place, and there he prayed. Take time out to pray daily. Time spent alone with God in prayer can be one of the most precious and rewarding times of your day. Follow Jesus' example as he prayed for his disciples. John 17:15 says, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. Pray for God's protection from the evil one for you and for the people God has called you to serve. Pray for all the saints. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Yes, pray for those people God has called you to serve. The good, the bad, the ugly, the educated, the uneducated, the smart, the dumb, the mature, the immature. Yes, pray with all kinds of prayers for all the saints God has called you to serve. Regard it as your duty to pray as Samuel did for Saul. In 1 Samuel 12 and verse 23, it says, moreover, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in the way, but I will instruct you in the good and the right way. Don't neglect or cease, Matt, to pray for the people God has called you to serve. Pray that God will enable you and equip you to instruct them in the good way that is found in the scriptures. Be zealous for God's chosen people as Moses was. Exodus 32 verses 30 to 33 say, on the next day Moses said to the people, you yourself have committed a great sin, and now I'm going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will, forgive them. And if not, please blot me out from your book, which you have written. As a leader, be zealous for the people of God that he has called you to serve. Be willing to stand before God the way Moses did and passionately intercede for them in prayer. God has called you to serve a people that are dear to him. They were bought with the precious blood of his son, Jesus Christ. They are a people set apart for God and are the apple of his eye. Intercede for them daily. Earnestly pray for them. Wrestle with God in prayer for them as Jacob wrestled with the angel all night. Fight on your knees for them before God. Pray for open doors to serve them. Ministry to the people God has called us to serve is only as effective and impactful as our prayer life for them is. My friend, my brother in the Lord, Professor Matthew Bryce Irvin, my challenge, pray diligently and passionately for the people God has called you to serve.
Thank you, Glenn. Appreciate those words. You have to understand something, Matt. These guys have been working on these challenges for weeks. This is not off the top of their head, okay? So they've been thinking about you and thinking about what you need to hear. Any splash on you yet? Just checking. Okay. Stephen Cook is our chairperson of the board, chairman of the board. And Stephen, I welcome you to come and challenge Matt.
In the letter to the Colossians, Paul explains his ministry. And what I'd like to do is read from that first and then offer some challenges that relate to that. Colossians 1:24 through 2:5. This is what Paul said as he was trying to explain to the people at Colossae what his role was. He says, "Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those at Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with plausible arguments. For though I am absent in body, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the firmness of your faith in Christ." I took that passage and from that created a series of just challenges that were from that. And Matt, here is a challenge, your challenge. Rejoice in your sufferings for those you serve. And in your flesh fill up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is the church, of which you are becoming a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to you for his church. Your ministry is to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his people. To them God chose to make known how great are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in them, the hope of glory. Proclaim him, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that you may present everyone mature in Christ. Struggle greatly for those you serve, that their hearts may be encouraged, that they be knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. This is your challenge.
Thank you, Stephen. Can I ask the ushers to come forward to receive the morning offering? Our act of worship by giving is important and vital. All through the scripture, people have been giving as an act of worship. And I would say this to make it even worse. The scripture also implores you, encourages you to offer your very self and everything that you have as the ultimate offering for God to use. That's dynamic. But before we receive the offering, one of our own is in Togo, Africa. Lest we forget, Jerry Peterson, we've been praying for him every Sunday with latest updates. And I'm going to ask Jim Reed to stand, give us the latest update, and then would you please pray for the offering, Jim?
So there have been some frustrations because the power was on and off. And now,
Elder Jim Reed comes at this time to challenge Matt.
Well, Matt, you have put a lot of work into where you are now. You've had a group of pastors, well-trained people, determined that you can, as Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy, rightly handle the word of truth. We've also seen your passion for the word. We know it's something that just energizes you. It's hard to have a conversation with you without hearing something you've know or learned about Scripture. I think you've already forgotten more about Scripture than I have known. And we see that passion in you, and we know that being a teacher is your gift. But I have two challenges for you. First challenge is just don't let knowledge puff you up. We humans, anytime we do something and we get good at it, we start to think we're a little better than other people. It's just a human failing. And so Paul says about being wary of knowledge puffing up. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul says, if you have knowledge without love, you have nothing. So just be wary that that you don't let knowledge puff you up. Anybody who's educated and passionate, that's an issue they have to deal with, just as a fallen human being. But here's the corrective, the second challenge. Use your knowledge for the benefit of others. God's given you this gift, this passion for His Word, so that you can be of benefit to others. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:7 talks about the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other places, he talks about our gifts are for building up one another. And so all the knowledge you have, that passion you have for God's Word, use that to build others up. So don't use your knowledge to impress others, to overwhelm them, to even bolster your identity. We humans all tend to do that. But pay attention to who the people are that God's called you to serve. Who are they? Where are they in their journey? And what has God given you that can be helpful to them for their next step in the journey? Find joy and purpose in seeing others grow in their knowledge and love of Christ, and share that passion you have with them so it stirs their heart to be passionate for God's Word as well. So God's blessing on you, man.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that. Matt's been through a process, and we'll be talking. You'll hear more about it maybe, but processes, they got a bunch of experienced pastors around. This is months ago, and they got around Matt, and they each kind of loaded their weapon, and they sat Matt in the middle, and they asked him and fired questions at him about his life and about his doctrine. It just went on and went on and went on and went on. My particular ordination went on for almost 5 hours, which tells you something else. Anyway, but Matt, I got to tell you something. I know you treat this pretty earnestly, but I'm very concerned that you continue to treat this calling very earnestly, so I need to ask you a question. Remember, Matt, you were the one that people told me to stay away from when I first came here almost 4 years ago. Okay, somebody had some smarts. It was a whole bunch of people, by the way. But the point of the matter is I ran towards you, and you know that, and we found the commonality that we have, and we've got many commonalities, but the one that we really do share is a passion for the Scripture and the passion for discipling people. So I want to ask you something. I've met a class of pastors who are literally just putting their time in and mailing it in and waiting for their retirement to happen. You want to be like one of them? Because we're about done, if that's so, okay? Or do you want to be good at this? Do you want to be effective at this, Matt? Do you? Okay, good. Then Matt is expressing his heart. Then I've got some words for you that I want you to hear. And it comes from 1 Timothy. In fact, it's going to be on the board right now. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Let me read this for us, okay? Paul writing to the young pastor, put in a tough situation, words to encourage the young pastor, and here it is. If you put these things before the brothers, the fellow believers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Matt, I'm just going to read the scripture to you this morning if I can and pick a few things out of here in the couple of minutes that I have that you might be challenged. In fact, the first thing I really want to say to you overall is I don't want to discourage you. You've done a lot of learning. You've even written a book. His book is the one that's on the counter over here that you can get from him. And I know you're working on another one. But the truth of the matter is, this isn't encouraging, but this training process isn't over yet. In fact, the more I read the scripture, it seems to emphasize the fact that there's still more to go, and it's not over by a long shot. And with that said, Matt, I want to look at verse 6 up here, and I want to challenge you to be trained in the words of faith and good doctrine. There is a month of sermons in here that we could do every single day, and we're not going to do that, but you need to be trained in the words of faith and good doctrine. You need to be trained in the scripture. I went back and did a little work. I love what words mean in the original languages. And the word trained, you and I kind of have an impression as to what that means. The word trained means this at its root: constantly nourished. Just let that sit for a minute. The word trained means constantly nourished. So much so, one of your heroes, one of mine, William Tyndale, at the very end of his life, he didn't know it, but the end of his life was coming. He was about to be martyred. He was in prison. Probably the day before he was martyred, what some people believe, he wrote to the governor. He's in prison. And he asked for this, and I quote, "A warmer cap, a candle, a piece of cloth to patch my leggings. But above all, I beseech and entreat your clemency to kindly permit me to have my Hebrew Bible, my Hebrew grammar and Hebrew dictionary, that I might spend time with those in study." And it was within hours, they think, after he wrote that to the governor, that they killed him. They martyred him. Matt, your training's not over. The constant nourishing is not over. We keep at it. The second thing I want you to see here is this, in verse 7, that you need to train yourself for godliness. That gets passed over all the time. You need to train yourself for godliness. You need to constantly nourish yourself so that you might have godliness. It's not a natural thing. And Matt, I'm going to tell you this. You made that little crack about golf. I'll get you for that. But somebody's got to. But I'll tell you what, this verse seems to back up what you said. The truth of the matter is bodily training, which you and I do value, is good for an awful lot of stuff, but it's limited in its effectiveness. It's limited in its scope of input and impact. But godliness, according to what I read here, you see in verse 8, is of value in every way and has no limit. There's something to chew on. Godliness is of ultimate value and doesn't have a stopping point. Your physical working out does. It only affects so far, but godliness affects so much further in scope. You know, I see pastors, I had one on this morning. There's a certain pastor in our country that motivates me to come to church. You don't know who it is. But as I was watching Pastor Chicklets with the big bright teeth, and for just a couple, if you're a hockey player, you can appreciate that. And as I was watching that this morning for about 5 minutes, because right about then my blood pressure comes to a point, and I say something to shut the TV off. It's a routine I do every Sunday morning, okay? But the fact is, I see pastors who are going after fame and fortune and reputation and accomplishments, no matter what the size of the church or the ministry, or even popularity. They like to hear their name. A lot of pastors strive for those things, but the one thing that bears the most fruit is to strive for godliness. And lastly, I need you to see this. I'm going to read it to you in verse 12. It says this in verse 12. "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love and faith and in purity." Need to model and live out what you believe. You say you belong to Christ. You say you're godly. It has to come out in these places of speech and conduct and love and faith and impurity. In fact, your ministry needs to be the type, and I challenge you to have the attitude of Paul, who in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 said this, and this sounds pig-headed, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." And Matt, we don't declare that much really when we preach, but I really pray it'd be true, that you could stand up and say, you know what, folks, it's the hardest thing, but imitate me as I imitate Jesus Christ. Matt, guard the training, that training in godliness. Continue to train in the scripture to produce godliness. Seek that godliness. Desire that godliness, even when you don't feel like it. And verse 10 here, as Paul writes to young Timothy, is really interesting. He calls the thing that we do toil, which is work. And he says to strive for it, run after it, extend yourself for it as a runner going for the goal. And I'm going to tell you this. Folks, don't listen to this. Matt, if it was just me and you, I would tell you that these people don't know what you go through to be a pastor. They don't get it. They don't thank you. They don't appreciate you. They don't come alongside you. You've got a unique group of people here that do, but it's not like that everywhere. And Matt, the fact of the matter is your godliness and your training is what's going to sustain you to be faithful as to what God has called you to do. Matt, are you willing to take that challenge on?
Yes.
Okay. With that said, come on up here and give us a couple minutes of a response. I would appreciate that.
Well, first, I just want to say thank you for coming, everyone, and saying such kind things and greeting me so warmly today. It really encourages me. I really do appreciate it, and I love all of you. In all candor, my grandfather recently died. I'm actually leaving to do his funeral after this, and it's, you know, death can really refocus your priorities, especially when you're a believer, because I'm reminded of mortality, which we know, but that refocus. But you know what? It all the more encourages me to speak life. And I want that to be all of our encouragement, all of our goal, because through the Messiah, through Jesus, one can have life. One can get close to God. One can truly be eternal because you can associate yourself with what is eternal. Now, the reason Rose read that passage from 1 Kings, thank you, Rose, beautiful job, is because this idea, and I've talked about this a little bit before, but I'll just mention it again this morning. I really like that how that passage that Elijah is saying, on this day, let it be known that the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, Israel, meaning Jacob, their God, their Lord, is God. Let it be known this day through this action, through fire coming down, consuming the sacrifice. And all the other people witnessed it, the people who did not believe the Lord. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Meaning, the great I am that I am, that is the true God. And we have witnessed it this day. Elijah asked the Lord to do something through him, and it was done. Now, that may seem, well, I can't call fire down. Well, Elijah just couldn't casually do it either. This is a special occasion, according to the Lord's purpose. But you can do something greater. You can do something a lot more important. And I've said this before, too. Jesus said John the Baptist was the greatest man who had ever lived. And yet he didn't perform any of these incredible miracles. But he did point people directly towards Jesus, and he said, there's the Lamb of God. You can show people life by pointing them to the Messiah. Because can I be honest with some of you? I'm not going to point you out. I can tell over the last few years, you've gotten a little bit older. Okay. I've stayed youthful and vigorous, but some of you have gotten older. And we only have so much time. And I'm talking to you as believers. Let's try and really fulfill our purpose. Let's make our lives really count to bring glory to the Messiah. Now, I'm going to read one passage. Give me a second to flip there. Make some quick commentary. This is from 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church, first, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. Now the apostle goes on to describe the importance of love, which, yes, we know from Ephesians 3 that as important as it is to know God's word, it's even more important to have a relationship with Christ. Because if you just trust in him, that is a type of wisdom that can surpass just the accumulation of knowledge, because you can be close to him, and it can empower you and give you confidence, even if you go, you know, I can't cite chapter and verse everything. But if you cleave close to Jesus and rest in him, you can have a wisdom that just goes beyond any type of learning, a deep sense of truth and knowledge within yourself that it can empower you to serve the Lord. And then he goes on after that to talk about prophecy being a greater gift. And here by prophecy, he doesn't mean just telling the future. He's talking about speaking God's word to other people, which includes the gospel, sharing the truth of God's word. And this is one of the greatest gifts you could have, and it's something that you're mandated to do, to share the gospel with others, to share with them the hope that you have. Now, he talks about we're all Christ's body. Now, what's in a body? There's lots of different organs, right? Is the brain superior to the heart? Is the heart superior to the lungs? There might be a couple organs you can do without, but so perhaps one person in the body is a lung, and perhaps someone else is a pancreas. Now, I wish Dr. David was here, and I'd ask, can you live without a pancreas? Because I suspect you can't make it. So you might go, gosh, you know, I feel like I'm just a pancreas. Don't look at it as just a pancreas. If we're not all here, if we don't have our organs all in this one body as the Lord made us to do his work, none of the other organs are getting by. The brain's not going to do anything without oxygen. The heart's got to pump some blood. We all have to work together to fulfill our great purpose. And that is just my desire for all of us this morning. If you would please pray with me. Lord Father, we ask you this day to fill us with your holy fire, your spirit, fill us to the brim, and empower us to do your work, and let the rest of our lives have meaning in serving you, and let us see you when we move on, so that you will say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant, that we have done these things for you to bring you glory and given our lives meaning, and so that we can ultimately live eternally as one unit together, appreciating each other and having love for one another. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.
Okay, as Matt goes to be seated, I'm going to change some things around here for a minute. You wonder why the room has a hole in the middle of it. This is the business end of this service. This is the official thing that makes Matt ordained, basically, is what we're about to do here, following the scriptural imperative to lay hands on people. And typically this would be done with the ordained folks like myself and some other folks like the elders. And Candlewood's not that kind of church. Candlewood is a church that kind of does things together. Candlewood kind of acts like a family, especially around times of need and times of joy. And it's a great time of joy for us to be able to set Matt apart for ministry. So listen carefully as to how this is going to go. Matt, I need you to come here and sit in the chair. Thank you very much. And then I'm going to ask for the elders of the church and the deacons of the church to come around, Matt. You guys are standing. Okay, so elders and deacons, come right up on Matt. Okay. Come on front and back and sideways. Now listen, here we go. We said it's a body exercise. It is. It's a church body exercise. I need the rest of us to stand and move toward this part of the room and get as close as you can to Matt. If you can't, you're behind somebody, you're going to end up putting a hand on them, but you get the idea. So I need everybody to stand up at this point in time and move toward the middle of the room, okay? Move toward the middle of the room, keep moving, okay? Everybody up there, here's how it works. Elders, would you please place hands on Matt, and everybody close in, tight in, would you put hands on Matt? And then the people, as they come all the way back to even where I'm at, back in the outer ring here, would you just put your hand on the person in front of you? And I've asked the chairman of our church, Steve Cook, to lead in a prayer of dedication for Matt. Steve, would you please pray at this time?
Yes. Father God, we just thank you for this special moment in the life of our church, in the life of Matt. Father, we think of these challenges this morning as I'm reminded of the challenge to prayer, the challenge to to share your word, Lord, in clarity, to be humble as he teaches, to have the passion that he has for knowledge, to share that passion with others. The idea of godliness, Lord, that you would help him to be godly and that he would be clear in his doctrine and his training. Father, the leadership and the entire church body of Candlewood Church, Do now commit Matt to the work of the ministry as you have called him to. We placed him at your altar for your exclusive use. Father, might he be, as the Apostle Paul has said, a drink offering poured out completely for you. Take his life and spend it as you see fit, and might he always be a faithful servant of yours, all for your glory. Amen.
Amen. If you would please return to your seats, I would appreciate it. And Matt, would you come forward here to the front of the room? And Jamie, would you come with him? And Isaiah, wherever you've gone to, Isaiah, would you come on up here as well? I'll wait till everybody's settled, and finding Isaiah is a whole nother story. We can deal with him later if you want. Okay. Really good. You guys stand over here, please. Okay, Matt. You know we love you, don't you?
Yeah.
You feel that here, okay? I'm not saying me and you. I mean, I put up with you. No, I'm just kidding. No, he's a very special friend. But Matt, on behalf of the Evangelical Free Church of America, I am very happy to bestow this certificate of ordination upon you, Matthew Bryce Irvin, on this Sunday.
Oh, thank you.
Let's clap. Can we do that? I'm not done. You know, behind every great man is a great woman. Behind every so-so man is a great woman. Behind every husband is a wife. You get the idea? In this case, we have got a wonderful partnership here between Matthew and Jamie. And Jamie, we've got something for you to commemorate this day. And so this is very special. And Isaiah, I'd hate to say that you have to share Dad's certificate or Mom's gift, which, by the way, is really pretty cool. But this is, like, really, really cool. Don't open it now, okay? But, Isaiah, we're going to give you this in honor of Dad's special day, okay? Okay, and I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. We're going to be done right here. But Matthew and Jamie and Isaiah, I'm going to ask you to leave the room that way because we have a surprise reception for you. So would you please go that direction out there and out near the food and all that stuff we've got special for you. For the rest of us, we're going to dismiss right now. And I know a lot of you need to run. We've tried to keep this within an hour, which we've done. But the fact of the matter is that I'm going to invite you to go back there. And if you have to run back there first, shake his hand, say congratulations, and then run out the door. But come on back and enjoy the fellowship, the special cake, the special stuff that's back there. Let's pray. Let's be dismissed. And then the band's going to play out while we're leaving. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this special day, this day to set apart one of your own, and Father, to acknowledge you and what you've done in his life and what you're doing in ours. Father, continue to bless Matt. Father, use him where you've placed him. And Father, use us where you've placed us, all to your honor and glory. Now we thank you for this time of fellowship together, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may stand and be dismissed.